Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 340, recorded on September 7th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Apparently garbled.
No, you're good. You good.
That was the best thing I've heard all day.
You can tell you're a dad from that moment right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm pretty good. I just got back from the Apple Store and they fixed all my stuff and didn't charge me too much. So That's good.
Nice.
Jeff Gamet is also here and he's from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. And I'm not all garbly and I'm not going to do the wobbly face talk either.
Cool. Wobbly face talk. Good. So I'm back in San Luis.
Is that part of iOS 11?
Yes.
Wobbly face talk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the voice memos, or what was the, there's that app that we forgot about, the one for recording audio notes or whatever, not voice memos.
That's voice memos.
No. The one for instruments, where you record and then you can add a backing track automatically.
Oh, the GarageBand thing that they made for like music artists? Is that what you're talking about? That little audio recorder thing?
Yeah, that thing.
I forgot about that.
Where the heck is that? Oh, it's in here. It's called Music Memos.
Music Memos.
Anyway. Is that still an app? Like, is it still like a real thing?
I have it on my phone. Huh. I haven't used it recently, though. But it's cool. I think it's worth having. Anyway, that is off topic because Apple sent out some shiny invites.
Woohoo!
So, they sent out invites to members of the press.
Mine got lost in the mail again.
Me too. Weird.
Mine too.
Oh.
Man, the U.S. Postal Service is really dropping the ball.
Also, maybe it didn't come through the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh. Well, the U.S. email service is really dropping the ball.
I would agree with that. Thanks, Obama. So, Tuesday, September 12th, 10 a.m., and it's going to be at the Steve Jobs Theater, which is pretty freaking cool.
With the rotating something or other.
Rotating, like, Wonka Vaders and retractable wall hiding the demo area, which is it's just crazy. You look at this, the blueprints are public to some extent, the floor plan rather, and it's a four underground stories. You get the rotating Wonka Vaders. It seats 1,000 people on these leather seats that are, I guess, $14,000 a piece.
What? Holy crap! For journalists.
I know, right? Their butts are not even worth
metal
that.
Folding chairs.
Fine Corinthian leather on my butt.
It's probably not for journalists. It's probably for fancier folk, and they just reluctant.
Yeah, the journalists, they still get the metal folding chairs.
Yeah, they changed them.
No, they don't. Long, they just, so they everything had to match. So they're like, well, Tim wants this chair, so.
Mm. Yeah, that's, you're right, that's what it is. So the cool thing about this theater, so you've got the big old glass staircase that curves around the perimeter, so that takes you down from the lobby with the big carbon fiber roof, and there's also elevators, and so you go down, you go into the theater, you see the show, and you're like, okay, that was really cool, and then you exit back out, and then there's this room that gets revealed after the presentation, which is retractable little doors that lead to the demo area.
See, I think they missed a step here because the whole thing's round, right? And it's underground.
Uh-huh.
So They should have done like the dark room, like light lock room things, where just the whole theater like rotates over and then exposes the entrance to the demo room. Ooh. Or like just becomes the demo room.
Ooh.
So you're like pointed at the stage, you know, and that's like the little window opening, and then it just like rotates it over here, demo.
Like the room in Jurassic Park when they're going through all the
exactly.
areas. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Well, they should have done that. They screwed
that
up.
That would be really cool.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I mean, obviously the event is going to have a bunch of cool stuff. We're expecting the OLED iPhone 8.
iPhone Edition.
iPhone Edition.
iPhone Edition.
iPhone 7S.
iPhone 8.
Third gen Apple Watch with LTE.
I'm not all that excited about the Apple Watch, to be honest.
Okay.
If I'm being really honest.
I'm not that excited about it either.
For me to get really excited about the new Apple Watch, it needs to have significantly better accuracy overall
mm-hmm.
and better battery life.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if it lasted like all day, or I'm sorry, not all day, all week,
I'd be happy to get all day when I'm hiking, which you can't do.
No, yeah, if the GPS is going, there's no way.
I typically can't get through a whole hike.
Oh, you use the GPS?
Doing the heart rate monitoring. So I leave it linked to my phone so that I get better GPS. Mm. In my experience, GPS on the Apple Watch is... It's more of just a bullet point. I don't see any real accuracy there.
Mm.
So it's not good for backcountry stuff. It's Apple Watch is an in-town device still.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that. Although it's because I haven't really done backwoods stuff. So
normally use I can get 2 days, but I'm with you, Jeff. If you're doing a lot of running the workout app or other things, you're lucky to get a day still.
Yeah.
I'm pretty solid on getting a full day. I usually get like a day and a half.
You can get a full day with like an hour or two of workout, but like Jeff is saying, if you're like going on a day hike or something like that, it's not going to last.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're also potentially expecting a new Apple TV. We might see the 4K Apple TV happening.
Is there going to be others? Is there going to be another reason for me to buy a new Apple TV other than the 4K? Because I don't have a 4K set, so
HDR?
I'm kind of like, do I really need it?
They'll have HDR for you, maybe.
You know, depending on how new your TV is and what other features it has, you may still see some improvement in what you're watching, but you're not going to get 4K.
I don't. I have just a standard 1080p set that's probably 3 years old, at least, maybe older.
Yeah, you might see something. For me, I thought my TV was newer than it was, but my TV's got to be 12 years old right now.
Yeah, and this is the dilemma, because this kind of came up on my podcast, and I was asking people, you know, is 4K something you care about? And I had mentioned, oh, I'm not really planning on upgrading to 4K anytime soon, and I talked about pricing, and immediately I got some responses. Well, you know, you can get a refurbished whatever for around $350 to $400, $500, which is fine. But the deal is most people that I talk to, it's like you don't replace your TV until like literally the TV breaks.
Right.
Right? Like people just don't, they're outside of a few people. I know there's people like, you know, John Martellaro at the Mac Observer who's really into the latest, greatest television technology. But most people I talk to are like, no, I just, you know, when I need a new TV, I buy a new TV, and whatever the latest technology I'll get then. But it's not like I'm going to dump my 1080p set to get a 4K set just because I want 4K.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm surprised, Jeff, you said 12 years old. My TV is 10 years old.
Yeah.
Well, at least I bought it 10 years ago. It's probably a couple of years before that too, because it was on sale. But, yeah, I think that's kind of the standard plan for most consumers.
Yeah, so it's funny to me because they do try to play the whole game that people play, you know, that Apple and everybody plays the smartphone. Just like, look, it's got this new feature, 3D facial recognition, and people will actually upgrade for that. But they try that with TVs, like, it's got 3D holographic projection lasers in your eye technology. And people are like, meh.
To be fair, though, unless they say, here is the... If they leave the new 4K Apple TV at the $149 price, then I'm going to say, okay, well, it's clearly they're just like making it better because technology's better and things get cheaper. And it's just the way it is. Now, if they say, okay, 4K Apple TV is now like $250, that's going to be a reach, right?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to do that. I really think it's just going to be updated Apple TV, new processor, and now it does 4K HDR.
Yes. So it's there available for it. So when you buy it, it works with 4K TV. If you already have an Apple TV, it doesn't matter. You don't care.
It's an upgrade that they have to do, not that they
An overdue upgrade.
Yeah. So
does that make sense? But again, it's not something they particularly need to do. They have to do it because they'll just be perceived as still being so far behind everybody else.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that they... Do you think they're going to knock $50 off the current 32 gig and keep that around?
Yeah, I bet you they do.
That'd be nice. Maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
I would be surprised if they got rid of the Apple TV 4. So yeah, it'll be their low cost model now.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, if they're smart, they go even further and make it like $50.
I doubt they will.
Yeah, I doubt they will either. But that would be they would sell a lot more of those and get a lot more people in the ecosystem. And it may be something worth doing if really some of these other things we're hearing about with original content, depending on how they're going to distribute that, come into play. You know, they may want more Apple TV boxes out in the market. So they may have to get more aggressive about entry-level pricing.
Yeah.
I think that that will play into needing to keep Apple TV 4 around, because at this point, Apple really needs all the Apple TVs people are buying to have full app support. So so make the fourth gen the low-cost entry-level model. Mm-hmm. You have app support, the new 4K model's out for the people that want that, and now Apple's set.
You guys are going to love this. According to Recode, the Amazon Prime Video app for the Apple TV is still not ready. It won't be ready for the September event, and it'll probably be end of the year.
To be fair, they never promised it for the September event.
No, they didn't, but it kind of seemed like it was going to happen that way, especially given that
I don't think it kind of seemed that way. I think what happened was people started speculating and hoping, and that quickly transmogrified into people saying, this is what's happening.
Okay. Well, the reason it became that is because Amazon, I think they have a lot of money and resources and stuff. It doesn't, they already have the code like done for iOS.
Yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't have released this.
There's no reason they couldn't do it in a freaking week. There's no reason to believe they don't already have it. And
there is.
Bezos is just using it now.
There's probably not a technical coding reason why we don't have it.
It's they don't care.
No, they do care.
No, they don't.
It's the moolah.
There's a money thing going on. Yes. For sure.
There's a money... What do you mean a money thing?
It's all about subscriptions and selling
money
out Amazon Prime and Apple not taking a cut or taking a smaller cut.
So they want to get as many people on board for Amazon Prime as possible before they roll it to the Apple TV.
No, they want to be able to do all of the stuff in-app without having to pay Apple a 30% cut.
And you think that's actually going to change?
Well, they're definitely going to get the same. I think what's happening is Apple has offered them the same deal as HBO and Showtime and Hulu and everybody else who only has to pay a 15% cut. And my guess is that Amazon, there's something more that Amazon wants, whether it's the price, whether it's...
It might be some sort of data sharing.
Yeah, or maybe they also want the same deal for the Amazon app, because there's an Amazon app on Apple TV, right? For just like buying Amazon stuff.
I think you're right.
Huh, I never actually went and looked. That could be trouble.
Or maybe they just want deals in other areas. There's some political thing going on. We can do wild speculation about what it might be, but that has to be it, because you're right. There's absolutely zero technical reason why it can't happen, and why it can't happen very quickly. So it's got to be a political thing.
Yeah, my guess is the app. They whipped something up, at least a functioning framework, long ago.
Another theory that I have is it may come down to what's happening with integration with the TV app.
Yeah.
And data sharing, and, you know, so it could be some of that too.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's honestly a legitimate reason, because it's so irritating with Netflix and how almost it's integrated with the TV app. I think I would rather like no integration with the TV app for Netflix, because it's so infuriating to understand like how the hell it works right now.
Well, it's only integrated with search, right?
Yeah. And only for certain content, like the old catalog stuff.
I just hate it. I don't want to talk about it.
The TV app could be awesome, but again, it's crippled by Apple's inability, or not inability, their arrogance and not wanting to make any concessions or deals with some of the media partners. I'm pretty convinced.
But see, the thing is, the way they have it is the way that it's good. It's good the way they want it. It's bad the way that all the developers do it, especially HBO. And I'll talk about HBO and how sucky their app is for all of eternity.
But it's integrated with the TV app, so
yeah, I know.
Problem solved.
Thank God. Thank God, because it's impossible to read the text on any of their stuff. Let's use thin, like the thinnest font possible with its white text, and we'll put it over stuff and like pretend people can see that with their human eyes.
So what you're implying is that the people that work at HBO are not humans.
Yeah, they're something. Terminator eyeballs, at least.
Terminator eyeballs. Yeah. That would explain a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's move on from the Amazon thingy. So according to Mako Takara, the iPhone 8 will use the Qi standard for wireless charging.
Qi.
Okay.
Qi.
Qi, which they believe it'll be version 1.2. However, it will only be at 7.5 watts.
Durr. So
7.5 divided by 5. So that's 1.5 amps, which that's not bad. It's faster than the included 1-amp charger that you get with your phone, but it's not like a 2-amp. It's not like a 10-watt charger or better.
Well, you're not going to get the 15-watt. Fast charging that the Qi standard can do.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, hey, at least it's as fast. It's faster. It's faster than the included 1-amp charger. So we're probably going to get a better charger, higher amp charger, and it will charge just as quickly through the wireless charging.
And as long as it's an Apple one.
Yeah.
Because they're going to lock it like they do the Apple Watch wireless charger, which is also uses the Qi standard.
Yes, you need a MFI chip to authenticate your charging, which makes sense. You don't want to screw around with that.
Yeah, and people get really in a bunch about this, but I actually am kind of okay with it, knowing how many like cheap Chinese third-party chargers cause problems.
Dude,
for devices.
Literal, both. Like people have died.
Literal fires and death. Let's not mess
ecosystems. Like, yeah, if you're paying $250 for your charger, just be aware.
Yeah, $2.50, not $200.
Yeah, that's what I mean, $2.50. Yeah. Like, people literally will buy a charger, and then they'll be like, I don't know, my phone stopped working.
My phone melted. That's weird.
Fried out one day.
Stupid Apple with their melting phones.
Yes, stupid Apple.
Why?
Because you were unregulating power right into the device.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's pretty impressive that they can actually make it take that amount of current and the phone doesn't, you know, the phone just takes it. It's fine. Let's see. According to Bloomberg, Apple has tested a no home button user interface. We're assuming this is for the iPhone 8. So the idea is there'd be a little thin bar on the UI and you would drag up for multitasking, and to get to the home screen, you would continue dragging and there's your home screen. So no home button. There'd be an iPad-like dock. It's not clear if that's what's going on, if that's what ultimately is going to happen on the iPhone 8, but they know that it has been tested.
Seems logical.
That it's going to happen, or that we're going to see it, or that it's that they've...
Yeah, that would operate in some variant of that, or, I mean, it seems rational to think that that's how they would manage it. Especially considering how it works on the iPad in iOS 11. I mean, that's very similar to a lot of the gestures and actions that you would do there.
But
so,
then what about Control Center?
Control Center is now...
it'll be swipe left to right.
Yep.
Instead of camera.
Instead of camera.
What about if you're in an app?
Well...
Yeah, I'm not digging these all these gestures. I just remember.
Well, in an app. I mean, is it going to be a two swipe scenario where you have to swipe up into? Because Control Center is now again on. If you look at iOS, Control Center is now inside the app switcher, right?
Yes.
So it would still be a swipe up to app switcher, swipe left to right to get to Control Center.
Okay, remind me again on the iPhone how you get to Control Center now.
Currently?
For iOS 11.
You swipe up from the bottom.
And then is that the same way you get to your multitasking? How do you do multitasking on iOS 11, I guess, is the real question.
The same way you double tap the home button.
Okay, so they're combining this. I don't know. It sounds annoying.
It's extra. You're going to wind up with extra swipes. Or the other thing that's being bullied around in the rumor mill is that the sleep wake button becomes your home button for certain actions. Well, so you would literally double tap the side sleep wake button to go to the.
That's going to start getting confusing. How many times do I push the sleep-wake button for the different tasks?
Yep, exactly. Because there's also that five-tap SOS thing.
Five for the other, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't like that solution either, but that's the other thing that people have mentioned. And I think, again, it's all of these things are things that Apple has experimented with, what we actually get.
Right. So it's one thing that to say that, okay, you're not going to get Touch ID built into you, to the screen. It's another entirely, in my opinion, to say that they can't have a virtual home button in the screen because they already have 3D touch built in. They already have the Taptic Engine. I fail to see how just saying, here's a region on the screen that's your home button, how that's any different from basically what we have on the iPhone 7 right now. Unless they thought, okay, the user experience is even crazier with the virtual home button than it would be with this weird bar thing.
It seems to me like maybe the thought process is that swipes are better than taps. And it really came down to that. There was probably some philosophical argument about, are swipes or taps better, right?
Because what does that say about 3D touch?
But then you're also cluttering the visual language, because then it's like, oh, you swipe up for Control Center on the iPad, and then you swipe up for the home button.
Right, with a button, you're cluttering the UI because you got a giant round thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, for a while now, we've been considering that situation where we say, okay, there's just a region at the bottom with controls. And
so
I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, but here's the argument I'll make on why not a button and why a swipe gesture is the whole point of the design is a giant screen with no bezels and no edges. And right. So again, you don't want to clutter up with virtual UI elements. You just want
giant screen is what you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, and you're swiping in from edges of the screen to make things happen. So yeah, they're definitely changing and cluttering the gesture language quite a bit, but I think they're willing to make that trade-off because now you're not cluttering the UI with weird virtual elements. This bar thing is like a thin little hairline that's just meant to be a hint, and we've seen Apple do that in a lot of so that's a language that already exists.
Yeah. You switched to an external mic.
Yeah, my mic just died for some reason.
That's weird.
You're going to come back to life, so there's that.
Yeah. Okay, well, in addition, Bloomberg says the notch will be visible at the top with the cameras and the earpiece. The left side will be dedicated to time. The right side will be dedicated to cell and Wi-Fi strength as well as battery. The display will not be curved. It's curved on the iPhone 7, right? But not the actual display portion. So it won't be like a Galaxy. We'll have big rounded corners instead of sharp edges as we do now. As far as I can tell, the black version will blend in perfectly with black UI or when the phone is off. So there's that. I guess the Apple engineers are calling them the ears at the top of the phone. They do.
Did it switch back or do I need to restart?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Let's see here. Oh, so according to, I'm not going to get his name right. I got it earlier. Guillerme Rambo.
Whatever. You had it right.
Guillerme Rambo.
Guillerme Rambo.
You got the important part right.
Rambo. Yeah. He has made a discovery in the iOS code that shows there is an ability to invoke Siri by holding the sleep wake button. Now, again, this like these other things, it's there. Who knows if that's going to be the way it ends up being. But and then that would also add another gesture to the frickin' sleep wake button. So it's like it turns it on, off. It also lets you turn off the phone, and then now it has the Siri capability, which is just bananas. I don't know. I don't like it. We'll have to see. We have no way of knowing. We have to wait and see.
All of these stories are just leading to the fact that they never should have gotten rid of the home button.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
See, that's how I'm feeling right now.
Really?
Yeah,
again, that is a bit of a
whoopsie.
So now we don't have Touch ID. We have all this weird gesture garbage. I don't know.
I like my home button.
Yeah. And get off my lawn, too.
That's how I feel. I feel very old people right now.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing to feel old because you don't like change. But then there's another thing to feel kind of concerned because the whole idea is we should be able to just intuitively use these devices. And if now it's a matter of trying to figure out what swipes do what and when and how many times you have to push a little side button to get the right thing.
Yeah.
We're not doing intuitive anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the sleep wake button right now, for example, so the sleep wake button wakes it up, turns off the screen. It kind of more importantly, it turns off the screen. And then it's like, all right, well, this is the sleep gesture, but if you just hold it, then it makes it more asleep, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, on your point, though, you could also argue like 10 years ago when the iPhone came out, there wasn't a language for this, and it was just as not intuitive for most people. And
disagree.
It's only intuitive because we've had 10 years of this design and these gestures and these interactions.
I disagree.
That's true.
Disagree.
However,
disagree.
We've also, from the very beginning, had this thing where if you're just completely lost in your iPhone, hit that one button and you've got the regular screen again.
Yes, it's always been like that. You hit that button, it takes you home. Obviously, you know, you get the little we no longer have the nice little rectangle that indicates that you're going to go to the screen with the rectangles, but that's fine. But it was like babies, freaking infants could figure out the iPhone. And, you know, they're still okay with it, but still, it was one of those things where, like, this is so intuitive that infants can do it too. And that's what I like. I have a very infantile mind. I've got that lizard brain going, and I like to live in my lizard brain.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm thinking about trying to explain these new things, like, to my mom.
Yep. That's going to be a pain in the ass. Thanks, Apple. Thanks for making our relationship with our parents even harder. This is your fault.
I mean, I'm going from being able to say, it's okay, Mom. It doesn't matter where you are on your phone. If you feel confused, just hit this button.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can start over.
Mm-hmm.
And now it'll be, it's okay, Mom. If you feel lost and confused, I just need you to do this two-finger gesture where you swipe like this and then do this other thing. And then you'll be... Hello, Mom. Where she hung up on me.
How did she even call you? She's so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least you can just shout at Siri. Call Jeff. I don't know what to do. Pre-orders. So according to Mac Rumors, they've gone through the last 5 years of launch patterns and stuff like that for Apple to try and suss out what we're going to see. If they follow the standard formula, we're going to see pre-orders happening the 15th, Friday, September 15th, and then the official launch on Friday, September 22nd, with the lucky people who pre-ordered getting them in the mail, and then people who want to line up at the Apple store getting it there. Of course, Wall Street Journal and everybody else and their mom say, hey, you know what? We're probably going to have a bit of a constricted supply on these iPhones. Wall Street Journal believes it's due to the OLED assembly causing some delays. The display and touch panel are discrete devices, and additional steps to laminate and adhere cause greater risk of manufacturing error. So,
yeah. So by pick it up at the Apple store, you mean the three people that are in line at the front of the line right now, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Right
those,
now, today.
Those three people get iPhones on launch day.
On the 7th, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, iOS 11. They've been cranking out those updates. We got an update for. The 8th beta of tvOS, we got a 9th beta for iOS 11 and also tvOS, and then the 10th beta for iOS 11 has been pushed out to developers and public beta testers. So it's, you know, basically bug fixes right now.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been seeing any new features.
Probably tomorrow or Monday or something, we see a GM, I bet.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And then it's just a matter of when Apple decides they actually want to roll out iOS 11 publicly. I believe it will happen before the new iPhone models are shipping.
I think that they've been doing that in recent history.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. You don't want to hit your server.
So if they
server.
Don't do it on the 12th, I'm thinking maybe on the 20th.
Yeah,
really? You don't think they'd do it on the 15th, the same day they start pre-orders?
I suppose they could do it on the 15th as well.
Just as long as they're not, like, slamming their servers with a whole bunch of stuff one day. I think they've like kind of figured
when
that
out. When has that ever stopped them before?
Well, I think they've kind of realized, like, this, you know, there's this finite ability for our machines to do things. Let's roll this out in a staggered way.
You know, if they were smart, they'd have hidden code in iOS and macOS so that our computers and iPhones and iPads are just secretly acting as server farms for Apple. Yeah.
It feels like they're gunning to drop it on the 12th right after the event.
Yeah, I would guess that.
Well, if so, cool, because that gives us a few days before pre-orders start, and it gives Apple several days to see what other surprises crop up in the operating system before the new iPhones start shipping.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Apple, according to Wall Street Journal, Apple wants to charge $19.99 for the 4K video. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that Apple's getting ready to get 4K video in the iTunes store. And $19.99 is the same price as HD is right now. However, the studios want to charge $25 to $30. So there's that little bump in the road. I'm glad they're trying to advocate for this. It makes a lot of sense. It, you know, 4K is HD pretty much. I mean, not technically, but to people who don't care and they're just normal humans who have like lives and things, they mm-hmm. they're just like, I just want the pixels. I want the good quality. Give it.
Yeah. But the problem is this is what the movie industry has always done when we had traditional physical things, right? Mm-hmm. So when it went from VHS to DVD, higher price. When it went from DVD to Blu-ray, higher price. Now they're living in a digital world, and they want the same sort of rollout with the new technology. So it kind of makes sense that they want that. It really irks me, though, that they want that at the same time as a consumer, because, and I was trying to suss this out, I guess, you know, maybe there's more time or computing power or technology involved in actually creating the original content. I don't know. You know, I'm curious if there's actually a financial justification for this other than we just want more money because we want more money.
I don't know. I'm leaning towards they just want more money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it feels like to me. And so I'm with you, Michael. I'm happy to see Apple, you know, advocating for the consumer. My fear is that they're ultimately probably going to lose the battle and just have to give in.
Yeah. Well, hope not. Okay, so I watched a cool video yesterday. You know the guy who built his own iPhone from spare parts in China?
Yeah.
Remember that guy? I think his name is Scotty Allen. So I saw this video and I'm like, it says bringing back the iPhone headphone jack. And I'm like, this, it's a half an hour journey, and
it's not for the faint of heart.
it is good. It's worth watching. I don't know that he would have posted the video. As you know, I'm watching it, I don't want any spoilers. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking there's no way he posted this video if it didn't turn out that he got a headphone jack in there, right? So I watched it. There's a payoff in there. He gets an iPhone 7 with a headphone jack, and
spoiler alert, man. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that I'm talking about it is a spoiler. Yeah, it's crazy. Did you guys watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. No,
it's fascinating. You got to watch this thing.
Yeah, I did watch the one where he built his own iPhone from scratch, and that was great.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was crazy that it worked.
The iPhone from scratch.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was that impressive. Although watching the journey, yeah, because I'm just thinking, oh, I'll just get the parts from iFix and you can build it up. It makes sense that you could do that. But this, the headphone jack thing, I'm pretty sure, here's a spoiler that I don't think he really talks about. I don't think you still can charge and listen on headphones at the same time, though, the way that he designed it. Even though there are two discrete ports, I don't think both will happen at the same time.
Hadn't thought about that. I bet you're right.
Yeah, but watch it. It's really cool. He picks up some really cool skills, learns to do some really tedious soldering. I mean, there's like microscopic soldering stuff going on. It's cool. It's cool. Like flexible PCBs and stuff.
It's just even surface mount soldering's a skill.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of.
It's cool. It's really cool. So, yeah, watch that. I got the link to that in the show notes. So, yeah, let's do some picks and get out of here. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you go first.
All right. My pick, it's actually a Kickstarter right now, but I've been playing with it. And it's really cool. It's from Astro HQ, and this is hardware and software combo. It's called Luna Display. So it's a little thing that plugs into the USB-C port on my MacBook Pro, although they do one that's mini display port also. And it lets you turn your iPad into a second display for your computer, for your Mac. And unlike the other second display app things that you can get, this lets you take advantage of hardware acceleration, the actual graphics card in the computer, because the little dongle that you plug in acts as if it's a literal display connected to the computer.
Yeah.
And then it uses Wi-Fi to talk to your iPad. So you get this wireless second display that can take advantage of the video hardware in your computer. And now I've been using it with Alpha software. So occasionally I have some jagginess things happen, but I wouldn't expect anything better from Alpha software, but even with that, holy crap, this is the coolest second display setup I've ever used for an iPad. So even with the software in an alpha state, I consider this something that I can use in regular production environment, and had to one day when I was having all these wonky problems with my system and had to disconnect the big external display from my MacBook Pro. So I set this whole thing up, and I did a dual display setup for like 3 days till I had everything sorted out, where my MacBook Pro was talking to my iPad Pro. Total kick-ass dual display system, and it just worked. It was awesome.
Cool.
So it's a Kickstarter right now, and they had a $30,000 goal, and the last time I checked, they were at 42,000 something, or 420 something thousand dollars.
Oh boy, yeah, 426,000 right now.
Yeah, there you go.
This is cool, man.
Yeah, and it's reasonably priced. So,
like, how reasonably?
Yeah, it starts at like $65.
Whoa!
To get one through the Kickstarter. So, that will be a nice discount off of retail pricing. So, but still, I mean, if you've got an iPad that you want to use as a really usable second display, this is killer. I'm absolutely loving it. So I can't wait for the final version to ship, which will be next May.
Wow, this is cool. I like it. Luna Display, there'll be a link in the show notes. And looks like it's $65. $65 for the thingy.
Yep, totally worth it.
Dongle. So, it, for what it's worth, it does USB-C. You can get the USB-C version, or you can get the DisplayPort version.
Yep. And since I have the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, USB-C.
Nice.
Just plug it in. You have to install their apps, but once you've done that, it just works.
Cool. Adam.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I can't remember if somebody else has picked this in the past, but I know I haven't picked this. This week, and actually last week, I'd been dealing with some technical issues with different Apple products and gear and stuff like that. And I wound up, I had forgotten that I even had this on my phone, but I ended up using Apple's support app.
Ooh.
to actually like troubleshoot and handle everything. Because typically, a lot of times when I'm having problems with a device, I want to be able to be like operating on that device and not having to kind of switch back and forth between a browser and then whatever troubleshooting that I'm trying to do. So I like to have, you know, the support website or something brought up on a second device. And the app is really nice for, especially if you just have, because typically it's my iPhone is the second thing that I have. And I've always gone just with Safari on the iPhone. But the app to me just seemed to flow a lot better. It's much better in terms of the layout. It also immediately when you open it up, if you've registered all your stuff with your iCloud account, or your iTunes account, or I think it's iCloud, actually, iCloud account, you have everything there. So I can see all of my devices, so I can just like simply tap on the device I'm having an issue with, and then it's got the little wizard thing under it. There's also a search bar if you want to specifically search, but then you can just kind of go through the wizard, oh, I'm having a battery issue, or I'm having a display issue, and then it'll kind of surface relevant articles, and you're likely going to find the one that you want. And then if you get into that article and you're still having a problem, it makes it really easy to drop down into getting some other kind of support, whether that's phone support or scheduling an appointment at the Genius Bar. And then once you've done all that, if you do end up scheduling an appointment, you can manage all of that from inside the support app as well. So it's just kind of all there in one place. And I know in the past I've always had trouble sort of bouncing around Apple's support website to the different areas, whether it's the discussion boards or Apple owned tech articles, and then trying to find the My Apple ID part of the site. And I know they've improved the website as well recently, but I just found it really convenient to actually just use the app. And I had totally forgotten that I had downloaded it a while back. And I'm pretty sure it's a separate download. Like, I don't think it's pre-installed with iOS. I think you actually have to grab it from the App Store. So I'm just going to throw that out there for people. If you don't have it, it's handy to have. Obviously not something you're going to use hopefully frequently, but having it, I just found it very convenient.
Nice. And I'm looking through my support profile right now and realizing I have a bunch of computers in here that aren't mine anymore.
Yep. Yeah, so it's good for discovering that thing too. Also, you got repair histories and stuff in there. So when you drill in, you can look at all the stuff that's been done and appointments that you've made. And again, it just makes it kind of really handy to have it all in one location on your phone or your tablet or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So the Apple support app, and that's free. All right, so mine, I'm gonna give you two, and this is a shout out to our buddy Skip, because we were talking about how lame it is that iOS 11 is removing 32-bit app support, and we specifically mentioned RampChamp.
Yep.
And some other developer took over development of RampChamp from Icon Factory.
Right.
Oh.
And updated it. They actually tweaked the physics. They added some extra branding, but then people were like, "Nah, we don't like that."
And they tweaked the graphics too.
Did they? What did they? They made
just kind of updated them.
Okay, yeah.
Polished them off a little bit.
Yeah, so they gave it these people seem cool because they removed their branding from the icon after people were like, "Nah." So it's the original, which is great. They removed all their excessive branding. They added iCloud syncing, which is awesome. They tweaked the physics again.
How recently?
Like, they put out another update since you complained about it.
Oh, I was like, because the physics sucked.
You're right. Now, actually, I'm playing it right now. The physics are great.
Oh, good. I don't know what they did. It was weird. The balls were just like, they had like almost like a too much of a weight to them or something like that. I don't know. It's really weird. It just didn't roll smoothly.
No, it's actually really good now.
Cool.
Playing it. Yeah. So RampChamp and then Ridiculous Fishing. So I should say RampChamp is free. They have some upgrades for that, which I believe include things like Adventure Pack. I think there are different levels beyond. So there's like Halloween Pack, which I feel like I have some
in RampChamp. Yeah, you can restore your purchases, and they'll still restore. Because I did the same thing. I had bought several new like skee ball I don't know if they call them levels or machines, I guess. There's different machines and themes, and they all restored just fine. And they have additional ones. So there's in-app purchase, but, I mean, you don't have to ever buy anything in-app.
Good. I got the Halloween pack that includes the secret Chalkinberry.
Fun.
Or Count Chocula, right?
Count Chocula.
Oh, yes. They don't make iPhone games like they used to. Particularly with freaking crazy Twitter characters made by developers. Yeah. So, and then there's Ridiculous Fishing, which has been updated 64-bit. Let me see here. I think
that is an awesome game. And that is it Lambeer? The original developer updated that. Is that right? Lambeer? Is that the name of the developer?
Vlambeer.
Vlambeer with a V.
Yeah, so I love this game. Highly, highly, highly recommended. $3. You're going to love this game if you haven't if you haven't used it before. It's just so fun. It's very basic controls. You just tilt your phone back and forth pretty much, and you try to catch fish as your crazy lure goes down. It's like chainsaw lures and exploding things, and the artwork is incredible. It's great. And so it's a compatibility update. It has some tweaks here and there, haptic feedback, but mainly they updated it. And for what it's worth, I also looked around because I was lamenting the fact that Peggle is not 64-bit. There is a new version of Peggle.
Oh, nice.
It's not an update. It is just a new version of Peggle. But it actually works for the iPhone as well now. So I would check that out. I haven't played with it, so I'm not... not endorsing it, but I'm sure it's great.
Peggle is always so much fun.
So with that, you can find the picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Give some stars. Tell a friend. You can send your feedback about the show to feedback@theiosshow.com. We've also got the comments on every episode that we post. So you can post your comments. And I see those. And those are great. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, at Mattcast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Jeff Gamet's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday, and at jgamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's awesome every single time.
I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can toot me. I think the podcast next week, so we're recording on a Thursday just because I wanted to stagger it out. We like to record like not immediately after the events so we can like digest. I like to digest on the events. So we'll probably
digestion's a good thing.
We'll probably do it maybe like Wednesday or Thursday once we're less crazy. So yeah, with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet table.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.